watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Jesus makes it right. Yes, it does.
Wednesday evening. God is so good. Good to see each and every one of you. As I said, we won't be doing a live stream tonight. We're just going to have a Bible study, and we're going to begin in the book of Genesis, and as you turn into Genesis in the 19th chapter, yes, ma'am. Oh, tithes and offering. Okay. Let us do that. Got to pay the bills. Let's pray over it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you and we thank you, God, for the opportunity to give unto you. We pray, God, that you would take this offering, God, and bless it and multiply it for the purpose that you would have, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Give me an opportunity to make a few announcements. Now, this coming Friday night, which is New Year's Eve, we will be having the church doors open from probably between 11:30, a quarter to 12, if anyone desires to come and be here and pray. We've been doing this for a number of years, and we will be here. So just let people know that if they want to come and be a part of that, the church doors will be open. I'll try to be up here by 11:30, and about a quarter till we'll just gather around, pray around the altar or wherever you're comfortable, and pray the new year in. That's just something we've been doing for several years, and I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than praying when the new year comes in. So also, this coming Sunday morning, since we've got so many people that are still out with COVID, and some are still in quarantine, and some are still sick in other areas, we're just going to have the worship service only this Sunday. So we will be meeting. I want to announce it to be here at 10:45. That way the people who come in at 11 will be here at 10:45. Maybe they'll be here by 11. So we'll have just the worship service only, and there will be no evening service. And Sister Lori's going to put that on the Facebook, on the website too as well. So this Sunday morning, we'll have the worship service, the morning service, and the evening service. And then next week, we'll be back on a regular schedule. I know there's some inclement weather coming and some possibility of some wintry mix coming in Sunday night as well. So, and with all the sickness and quarantine, hopefully everybody will be past that time and we can get back to a normal and regular schedule next week. So keep that in mind. And do keep all of these people in your prayers. I know we prayed tonight, but let's continue to pray for them and people who are trying to continue and not feeling well anyway, whether they got COVID or just the seasonal weather. Anytime the weather drops from the 50s to the 20s, the body has a hard time adjusting to that. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Genesis. We're going to read a verse there, and or a couple of verses, and then we're going to proceed to do a Bible study, if I can. And the reason I did not necessarily want a live stream tonight, because I like the feedback that I get when we do a Bible study. Sometimes if you're doing a live stream, then either people are hesitant to say anything, or if they do say anything, the people can't hear it. So tonight, I want you to feel comfortable and feel free to talk about this. And this is something that I was already impressed with it and thinking about it at the first part of the week, and then I heard something actually today that really kind of got me thinking about it along this line as well. But we're going back and we're going to pick up in Genesis in the 19th chapter, reading verse number 23 through 26. And we're reading the actually the tail end of a story that probably every one of us are familiar with, and that is the story of Lot and of Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that had transpired. In verse number 23, it says, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground." Verse 26 says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Can we pray? Dear gracious God, again we come to you, Lord, with a humble heart, asking you, God, that you would lead us and guide us tonight. God, we may be few and mean here tonight, Lord, but you're powerful. Even in your word says, where two or three are gathered together, that you would be in our midst. And Father, we depend on that tonight, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Ask you, God, to anoint these lips of clay. God, to speak to us that you would have us to hear. God, that we might grow from this word. God, that we might receive instruction and direction from you. And Father, we do again remember those who can't be with us tonight, and we pray, God, on their behalf. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a thought, it's basically, don't look back. Now, again, this is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you remember Abraham and Lot and being an uncle and a nephew, and there was strife between their herdsmen, so they have divided. They have chosen, Abraham said, you know, we can't dwell together and let there be strife. So he said, I'm going to let you choose which part of the land that you want. Lot chose the plains, the well-watered grassy meadows and all, and Abraham said, I'll take what's left, and that's what had happened. So during this time, there began to be war among the kings around Sodom and Gomorrah. And at one time, they had actually taken Lot and his family captive, and Abraham took his servants and his they armed their servants, and they went, and they overtook the king there and retrieved Lot and his family and brought them back to Sodom and Gomorrah. So things weren't going very well for Lot and his family from the onset. But his wife was, according to history, was pretty much steadfast on staying in that area. So the Bible tells us that the evil in Sodom and Gomorrah came to a point where God was going to destroy it. And he sent angels there to warn Lot and his family to flee. And almost they had to, almost just about shove them out because Lot's family, in fact, his two son-in-laws, chose to stay there. So this is what's taking place now. Finally, the angels convinced them, and they're going now. And he said, don't look back. Flee to the mountains. Go as fast as you can. Don't turn around and don't look back. And they're on their way, and they've just reached Zoar. And the fire and the brimstone begins to rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying every living thing and the buildings and all. And God had explicitly instructed them not to look back. Well, Lot's wife, who wasn't even mentioned in the Bible, the name was not mentioned, but it's a very important thing, she looked back. And many, many stories, many songs, many messages have been preached about Lot's wife looking back. Some thought that maybe she desired to be back. Others thought she just looked to see because she was inquisitive. But I think it was probably much more than that. I think she wanted to be back in her hometown or whatever, and she missed the surroundings. And she almost looked back with a situation where, you know, she wished the things hadn't been like that was, and almost desiring to be back and part of it. And the Bible says she was, in fact, turned to a pillar of salt. And I want to bring that into some scripture tonight about how that is a type and shadow of our Christian walk with the Lord. Every one of us, in fact, every person has a past. We all have a past. We learn from our past. Sometimes we don't even want to discuss things in our past because maybe for some reason or another we're not so proud of those things. Maybe we understand that, you know, if it hadn't been for the grace of God and for his forgiveness and for his very plenteous in redemption, then all of us would have to carry that heavy load. And the Apostle Paul talks about our past. And if anybody knew how their past was and how it could be a hindrance to them, it was the Apostle Paul, because we talked about him even actually killing saints was totally against anybody that was preaching in the name of the Lord and talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But yet the Spirit of God convicted him, and he changed his heart and became a great prophet and a disciple and an apostle for the Lord. So I see that as basically a type and shadow of, you know, when God delivers us from our past, we shouldn't ever desire to go back. The children of Israel experienced some of the same situations when they were delivered from some 400 years of bondage. And first two or three obstacles that they faced, many, in fact, a large portion of them said, "Why did you even take us out of Egypt? At least we had food, and at least we had shelter back there," but they didn't have freedom. So there's always that thing of looking back to the past when things don't go well in your life. But the Lord promises us, and we're going to read some scripture here in a little bit, about how that he will take care of us and how he will provide for us and how he will direct our future if we look to him. And then I was thinking about that and reading those scriptures, and then I heard where a very popular coach, player, a broadcaster by the name of John Madden died at 85 years old. And they were all talking about his life and his accomplishments and how his successes was. And they talked to one that basically was doing a special on him, and almost like a biography, and was in the process of writing this when John died. And he began to say, give some of the characteristics, and he said he was very impressed with John Madden the first time that he met him, because he was one, and he told him, he said, and I may not get it verbatim, but he said that John was always so positive, and he was always looking to the future. And he told him, he said, "You know, everything that is around our life is geared toward the future and geared toward looking forward." And he says, "You know, when you're born, everybody's looking forward for you walking. Everybody's looking forward for you to begin talking. Everybody's looking forward to the time that you go to school, the time you graduate, the time that you seek your profession, the time that you marry, the time that you have a family, and everything is looking forward. You don't have time to look back." And he said, "If you ever get to a point in your life where you think you have attained or you've reached that goal, or that you're satisfied with where your life is, then no longer do you have that vision of looking forward, and you become stagnant." And as soon as he said that, I thought of the pillar of salt. You know, I actually believe that there was a real pillar of salt. But also spiritually and in our life, if we come to a point where we no longer want to advance or be better or even closer to the Lord or obtain goals that maybe we haven't reached yet, then we become very stagnant. And then we tend to look back at our life behind us. Now, I'm not saying we can't look back and reminisce and learn from those things, but that's very different than looking back and wishing things were back like they once was. Because every day is a brand new day. Every opportunity is a brand new part of our the next chapter that we're writing. So there's so many things that we can look forward to. And if we, in fact, begin to stand still, then there's no growth. And I thought about that in spiritual growth. Whether we've been saved for 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years, there's always room for us to move up, get more and closer in the will of the Lord. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want to go and read some scriptures tonight. And I want you to please offer some feedback and your thoughts on this too. And certainly that would make it a lot more interesting and help me out as well. But first, let's go to the book of Psalm, the 32nd Psalm. Psalms 32 and 8. The psalmist is talking here about what the Lord will do. He said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And I thought about that and how the psalmist knew. And this was David talking. And if David If anybody ever knew that the Lord would lead and guide them, it would be David. Not always understanding everything that he had done. And certainly David had failed the Lord in the past, but David would realize that in living and working for the Lord, it's all in looking forward in our life, looking for an opportunity, looking for things to be better, and by faith, believing that things will be better. Does that mean we're going to have an easy road the rest of our life? No. But that does also mean that we will have Jesus Christ with us to lead us and guide us and direct us, and he will guide us. When we talk about guiding us, what are we actually referring to? Doesn't mean that he's going to make us walk in a certain... A guide shows you the way. A guide leads you and tells you the right way to go and kind of guides you and helps you along. And that's what Jesus Christ is. And I don't think we take full advantage of that sometimes, because sometimes we want to go this way or that way, or sometimes we want to do this, and maybe that's not the will of the Lord. So David realized that the Lord would be our guide. So anybody want to confer or converse about that? About leading us and guiding us? Absolutely. Absolutely, because probably there's not a day in our life that we don't have to make some type of decision. It starts in the morning. What are you going to wear? Decisions. Well, you know, which route are you going to take? What are you going to do today? Is there something today? You know, this is something as a Christian, and I think we all should incorporate it. How can I affect somebody's life today in a positive sense? We know how people can affect their lives in a negative sense, but what can I do? What can I say? What kind of actions can I do to make an impact on somebody's life today? Because so many times the world is so involved in just myself. How can I have a good day? What can, Lord, you do for me today, Lord, to make everything go easy? But the Lord also guides us to be a help to others and to lead and guide and direct us to help others. So that's a good thing to adopt. Lord, what thing can I do today to make a positive impact on somebody? And you never know. And the Lord will give you opportunities. Sometimes if you ask him, things will happen in your life to cause you to actually be a blessing to somebody else and also be blessed. I know I shared with them, it was Christmas Eve, wasn't it? And I shared with Susan them about Keith calling me about his cousin who had been diagnosed with cancer, and the diagnosis is not very encouraging at all. And she was talking, and she had shared with him that she wasn't certain. She wanted to be absolutely sure that she was ready to meet the Lord. And I mean, if you've been told by the doctor that, you know, that the cancer that you've got is maybe inoperable and at some point in time it's going to take your life, I would imagine that would concern anybody to make sure. But she was kind of shy, and she had really never been thoroughly convinced. She had been in church and she had prayed and all, but she wanted to know. That's what Keith called me. And he said, I told her, I said, well, I can call my preacher. And she said, oh, that'd be great. I've been wanting to talk to you about it, but I just haven't. And he said, you know, I'll call him first thing Monday morning. And she said, okay. And this is Friday night, I guess, Christmas Eve. So he goes outside and he's praying. And he said he walked around the van 4 or 5 times, and he said he just couldn't get away from it. And he said, I'm just going to call him tonight. And so he called me, and he never even asked me. He was just sharing. And I said, well, are you over there now? And he said, yeah. I said, well, you want me to come now? He said, Brother Eddie, would you? And so I did. And, you know, he said, I know it's Christmas Eve, and I know it's not a convenient time, and it's night time. And I said, no, that's okay. That's okay. And so I began to pray then and said, Lord, you know, help me with this and lead me in some scriptures and all. And believe me, it was well worth the trip. It was such an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. She was sitting there in the kitchen with her mother, and I believe it was her son, and there was some in the living room there. So I walked in, and some of the people I didn't know, but Keith knew Keith and his family, and I introduced myself, and then I went in, and her name was Wendy. So we said, I just pulled up a chair. I said, is it all right if I just pull a chair up in front of you? And I pulled one of the kitchen chairs, and we began to talk, and I told her, I said, I'm going to read some scripture. And I said, And this is what I told her. I said, before I leave tonight, I want you to be able to look me in the eye and tell me everything is all right with your spirit. I said, you may outlive every one of us, but I want to know tonight, since there's some doubt in your spirit or in your mind, that I won't be satisfied until you look me in the eye and you tell me that everything is all right between you and the Lord. So I read some scripture. I talked to her about salvation. And then I asked her, I said, are you comfortable with praying out loud? And she says, not really. She said, I'm very, very shy. I said, well, are you comfortable praying with me? She said, yeah, I can do that. So as we began to pray, she was saying the same thing that I was saying in a little voice. And then she got louder and louder. And then her hands, I was holding her hands got to trembling. And then she got to squalling. And then her mother started crying. Then the others came in the room, and there was just such an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, nothing on my part. And I told her, I said, this is not about me whatsoever. I said, this is all about the Lord and what he can do for you. But I said all of that. There was no plans that day for me to have an impact on somebody's life. But I asked Keith about her Sunday, and he said, she's just been on cloud nine ever since. He said, not only that, but her whole family. She said, and her daughter, she's kind of rebellious and really don't even want to talk about anything about church or religion or anything. She was shut up in her back room. And he said that she actually come out after I left and she started asking questions. So he said she felt it even in the back room. So you never know what God can do. You know, it'd been very easy to say, well, let's wait and do it Sunday or Monday morning. But, you know, I was telling her, I said, then again, none of us have the promise of tomorrow or even the next breath. And I would have felt really, really bad if something had happened to her over the weekend and not got a chance. But she was able to tell me eyeball to eyeball that she was fine and she was going to see her daddy in heaven and she was going to see Jesus. So you can make a difference in somebody's life. And gives her an opportunity, too, to not dwell on the past but look toward the future. I was able to give the testimony about Deborah Brown and about the bad news that she got and was only given months to live, and it turned into almost 6 years, I believe, 5.5 years that she was able to live. And that seemed to help her too. So you can always have something to look forward to. Okay, and now in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. The first thing, then Psalms 32, what we talked about there, basically the keynote to remember, the key word is that he will guide us. And 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So here Proverbs, the writer is talking about trusting in him for understanding and for direction. There'll be times in our life we won't understand where God's taking us. We won't understand what God's doing in our life. It may be the sale of a company that we're probably not comfortable with. But even with that, we have to trust the Lord. We have to trust him to know that he will be with us regardless of what we face or regardless with what comes our way. And if we look back, then we're almost standing still. We got to not stand still, but just say, Lord, you know, as long as you're with me, whatever I face tomorrow, whatever comes my way, we're going to get through it because we're going to trust in you for understanding and for direction. And right now, we may not see either one. We may not understand it, and we surely may not know which direction we're going to take with it. But again, as long as we put our faith and trust in the Lord, God will work it out for good. Amen. And that's what I was talking about when you were sharing with that with me, and I was thinking about, you know, that's a big load. And it's a lot to handle, and you're just finding that out in one day or this week and all. And you know, the natural thing is, you know, maybe fear, maybe not understanding, or, Lord, you know, I don't know about this. But if we just trust him and pray and trust him, you know, he will give us understanding and direction. And that's true on anything. That's true on the news. That's true on the weather. That's true on our lifestyle or whatever we face. We know that God will take us through. All right. Anybody with anything there? The next scripture is Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. So Psalms talked about he will be our guide. Proverbs talks about we can trust him for understanding and direction. And Isaiah promises us that he will be with us. Now, there's one word in here. I want to see if you can pick up on it. And this is not a test or anything, but just see if it really makes an impact on you when Isaiah writes this scripture. It's the 43rd chapter, verse number 2. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Now, there's a lot to comprehend there, but there's one word that really stands out to me that's very, very important in that passage of Scripture. Does anybody, what word maybe jumps out at y'all? Because different people see different things sometimes. Anybody? Is that the scripture up there? Are y'all seeing it? Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of good words in it. But there's one that really, really stands out to me. What stands out to me is the very first word. Not if thou passest through. When. And again, not if.
Or if you go through the waters, they won't pass you. But when you go through the waters, or when you go through the fire, now it may not be a natural fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. But if you've been living for the Lord for a number of years, you've walked through some fires already. You've walked through some situations that had it not been for the Lord, it would have probably almost been unbearable. And that's what Isaiah is letting, he's basically talking to the children of Israel. And of course, we know that in their wilderness journey that the Lord was with him, because they did have to go through, they went through the Red Sea, but God parted it for them. They went through across the Jordan, but God parted it for them. And not only that, but through the enemies that came against them, he was always with them. So that word when, and I looked at that again and again, I said, Lord, you know, you're letting us know that we're going to face some difficulties in our life. We're going to face some uncomfortable situations. But not to worry and not to go back, because I don't ever want to go back to the time before I had the Lord with me. You know, I've heard people say, I had it better before I started living for the Lord. No, you really didn't. The problem with that, saying that, is the devil probably didn't bother you all that much when you was living for him. He didn't have to. But now that you've decided to live for the Lord, then he's coming against you with every kind of situation or problem or trial that he possibly can. So that's the reason sometimes that walking and being in a Christian life, we have situations. So the thing there to remember is when you pass through the waters and when you walk through the fire, I will be with thee. I mean, he's thankful for that. And that's a promise, because none of us know what tomorrow brings. None of us knows what the future is. But we know who holds the future, and we know that he will be with us. All right. Anybody? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah's prophesying to the people what God has spoke to him. And he said, for I know, this is basically God's words through Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Has any of us ever, maybe where we actually verbally said it, maybe the thought come to mind, God, what are you doing? You know, this doesn't make sense. You know, Lord, you said you'd be with me, you'd lead me and guide me, but this is a mess. You know, this is awful. This is terrible. But he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. And he says, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he already has the end in line for us, what he wants and what he desires in our life. And he wants to give us peace. And really peace through not so necessarily peaceful situations. If everything was just easy and rose garden and all that, you know, probably our prayer life would be affected. We probably wouldn't pray near as much. But the Lord wants us to love him, wants us to pray to him, and wants us to seek him in everything that we do. And our expected end is an end of peace. And we know what that end will be. If we're born again and Jesus Christ lives within us, then the end is not going to be down here, but it's going to be in that place prepared by, for us by Jesus Christ. So he knows the thoughts of peace, not of evil. God is not a God that wants to constantly bombard you with evil. Evil is present in this world. And so many people blame God on bad things that happen in their life when that's not the case at all. He says it rains on the just and the unjust. Storm clouds come over sinners and over Christians as well. And unfortunately, circumstances, sometimes bad circumstances happen to Christians. What was the David Ream, one of his greatest sermons that he ever preached was why does bad things happen to good people? And this was a man who had cerebral palsy from birth and a lot of limitations and a lot of things that he couldn't do. And he talked about how his mother would pray for him and all those years and how he almost died several times. But yet he was able to become an evangelist. And many, many souls were won to Christ over his preaching. And basically was, you know, you can't lay and wallow in self-pity and wonder why bad things are happening to you. If he would look back on the bad things, he would never had a focus and never had his eyes on the future, which God had intended for him to do. Now, did God completely heal him? No. He never gave him complete healing over his body, but he allowed him in his feeble way to get behind a pulpit. He was limited with his actions. He was slow and his speech was slow, but he was very, very intelligent. The doctors told him he would never be able to have a family. He married a beautiful wife, and he would hold up his fingers and he said, and I have, he said, they would said, I would never have any children. He said, I have five wonderful, beautiful children. And that's the mindset, because his focus was, he was not going to stand still. He was not going to say, you know, this, I can't do this and I can't do that. But he looked at what he could do with the Lord. So God made a way for him. And sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our life. We don't understand why these things happen. But God has a purpose for each and everything. Anybody ever thought about that? Said, Lord, you know, why are you taking me this way? What are you doing in my life? I don't understand what you're doing right now. But I'm going to trust you anyway. Because I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look to the future. Anybody? We have to be obedient. Yeah. mentioned, the weakest thing about us is our flesh. The spirit, and Satan knows that, and he attacked Jesus' flesh with the hunger and the power and all of this that he was coming at. And he will do the same thing for us, against us, and tries to deceive us. And all he is a liar. He's the father of all lies. So he will attack the flesh. But you got to let the spirit be stronger than the flesh. And you have to feed that spirit. And how you feed that spirit is putting your faith and trust in God, being familiar with his word. And what did Jesus use against Satan? The word. The word. And the word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword. So we can always use the word against that. And, you know, basically this type of this study, the way it impressed me was in these scriptures, it's not so much to the backsliding Christian. We know what happens to a backsliding Christian. They do lose their focus, and they let the flesh override the desires of the spirit. But this is more, I guess, pointed to the Christian who gets to a point where they just stand still. There's no more spiritual growth, and then Satan gets on you and says, you know, look at your past. You had it better, blah blah blah, and all this. And that's what I thought about when I thought about Lot's wife, when she looked back, and then from that time she became a pillow of salt. And I don't want to spiritually become a statue where I'm living on yesterday's blessings and what God used to do. I'm thankful for all of that, but I never want to get to a point where I just become a spiritual statue, if that makes any sense, because I always think that, and this is what John Madden said, if you're not moving forward, you're actually backing up, standing still, but you're not making any progress whatsoever. And that's what I think these scriptures point to. There's no time to quit. There's no time to stand still. We need to be moving forward. We need to be more faithful, more committed, more dedicated to the Lord. And through these scriptures, I think it encourages us to know that whatever we face, the Lord will be with us. So Jeremiah here talks about peace. Now let's go to the New Testament, and we have a couple of scriptures there, and then we'll try to bring this to a close. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, Philippians 1 and 6. The writer says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Perseverance, longevity, and as my granddaddy used to say, keep on keeping on. You know, because there'll be times when you don't necessarily feel like you're a strong Christian. And sometimes you feel like, man, it's just you know, everything I do is just kind of coming back in my face. But we need to be confident, not in ourselves, but confident in the Lord and his guidance, his understanding, his direction, his peace, and all of these things that his promise will be with us. Because being confident is this very thing, the work that the Lord has started within you. And every one of us has a purpose. I believe with all of my heart, you know, it may not be a particular type of ministry, but when you're born into the body of Christ, you do have a purpose, just like every body member has a purpose. Some purposes and some functions differ, and that's all right, because it all fits together for the body of Christ. And that means as individuals, we have our individual purposes in the Lord. And if we use them, then the whole body is blessed. If the left arm just decides it's just not going to do anything anymore, it's going to hamper the whole body. So in speaking in a spiritual tone, then we know that God is going to perfect and finish the work that he has started within us. And he says the good work that he has started within you. And in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 and 5, or 3 through 5, rather. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by God's, by our faith in God, and we do have an inheritance. Everything that we're going through down here is going to pale in comparison to what the Lord has prepared for us. And then finally, I want to leave you with Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. That's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and you hear it quite often. The Apostle Paul, and we talked about his past, and we talked about what a heavy load that would be to know that he was actually responsible for the beating, the apprehension, and even the death of Christians. But he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There's always room to move up. There's always room to do more for the Lord. There's always room to be more dedicated, more consecrated to the work of the Lord. Amen. Anybody tonight have anything that they would like to add? Any questions? Any comments? I think that we all have times like that, that we stop and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, what's going on? I'm living for you. I'm supposed to have it easy." Well, God doesn't really promise us that we're going to have it easy. But what he does promise us is, "I'll never leave you, and I'll be with you when we go through the fire and when we go through the waters." That's the reason we have to be led by the Spirit and not the flesh, because you're talking about broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go that way, but straight and narrow, and few there be that enter therein. You know, so it's not an easy path. But the reason it's not easy is because the flesh desires to have it easy. And that straight and narrow highway, we have to depend on the Lord. I could never do it without the Lord. I'm honest. I could not do it without the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within me. Things would be too tough. But knowing that he is there and knowing that I have his word to comfort me, whatever we face, I will not face it alone. Whatever happens, some things I'm going to like, some things I'm not going to really like. But it's the Lord's going to give me an expected end. He needs to read the story about the rich man who had so much that he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear these barns down and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll say, so be at ease. And then God said, thy food this night, thy soul is required of thee. He made provision for his flesh, never made provision for his soul. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are doing the very same thing. Well, I hope y'all enjoyed the or got something from the scriptures that that we had tonight. I just kind of felt like that was the way that we wanted to go tonight. And then, of course, not being many people here gave us an excellent opportunity to do that. As we prepare to leave, if you have need of prayer tonight, certainly this altar is open if we'll pray with you. We do certainly want to remember those of our congregation who are still sick. Anybody? Well, let's just stand. Remember the schedules. Again, Friday night, we'll have the church doors open around 11:30 for those that would like to come. Sunday morning, what time are we going to meet? 10:45. Okay, good. Y'all listen real good. No Sunday school or evening service. Then we'll get back to regular schedule. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jack. Jeff Jake. Goodness gracious. Certainly, we need to pray for all that's being affected with it. And pray for those who are not, that the Lord will just keep us safe too. Okay, let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again, God, for the opportunity to come to your house to worship tonight. For those who've gathered here tonight, Father, we thank you for the word. Father, we pray, God, that we will take it to heart. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And God, that we'll follow your instructions and understand, God, that you're with us no matter what we face. Father, as we get ready to leave tonight, we do remember those who are sick and suffering, these prayer requests that were given tonight. Lord, Brother Jeff's family, God, I pray that you would be with them. Lord, in our congregation too, so many are suffering, so many are sick. Father, we pray that right now that you would just reach down and comfort them, heal them, and anoint them. And God, keep us safe from all harm, from all danger, from all sickness. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love each and every one of you. Have a glorious and happy new year.